Greetings and welcome to Shnayim Mikra. The series is sponsored by the Orthodox Union, hosted at OU.org, in which we study one aliyah in each podcast of the current week's parasha, seven podcasts in all covering the entire parasha. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom, and I'm delighted to be studying Parashat Shmot together with you. And we are looking now at the fourth aliyah, which begins at the beginning of the third chapter of Sefer Shmot, a momentous chapter to be sure. The truth is that both this and the next aliyah are part of one very important scene, and here I will share a plug with you that one of the first chapters in my forthcoming volume will cover this entire scene, which is this chapter and the first 17 psukim of Perek Dalet, which is the stand at the snare, Moshe at the bush. But today, and in the next podcast, we will take a look at them per aliyah, as independent pieces. Moshe haya ro'eh et tzon Yitro chotno, Kohen Midian. We get the full bio. Moshe was shepherding the flock of Yitro, his father-in-law, which of course raises the question of who Reuel is and who Yitro is, Kohen Midian. And so he's his father-in-law, he's a priest of Midian. Important to note that the word midbar, which we commonly translate as desert, in the sense of a desolate, not only a desolate place, but a place bereft of life and unable to sustain life, is not really a proper translation. We have other words for that, like yishimon. Midbar, as you could see from this context, really means an area that's unsettled, but it's certainly a place for grazing. And he comes to the mountain of God at Chorev. Now notice that it's called the mountain of God. We know that this is going to be the place where he will have his first prophecy, the famous bush, but also it will be the place where Am Yisrael will come and get the Torah and build the Mishkan, etc. And yet, it's called Har HaElohim already. And so therefore we have a dispute among the Rishonim. Is it called Har HaElohim because it already had a special attraction, a special spiritual aura to it, that this was a place, like the Sforno says, that Avraham used to go here and meditate and commune with God and raise his own prophetic level? Or is it Har HaElohim al Shem Hatid, because by the time the Torah is written and this story is written, it's already Har HaElohim? Vayeram Malach Adonai Elav Labat Esh. The Malach Hashem, which is a character that shows up frequently in Bereishit and almost not at all in the rest of the Chumash, that phrase, Malach Hashem, is almost always a precursor to some form of prophecy, sort of the first image, the first experience, the first encounter. So this Malach appears to him, Balabat Esh mitoch Hasneh. Now Hasneh implies that there was some special bush there. There's a fire, and the angel appears to him there. Vayar v'hineh Hasneh bo'er ba'esh v'hasneh nenu kal. And Moshe sees that behold, it's a wondrous thing. The snare is inflamed, and it's not being devoured. Vayomer Moshe, so Moshe says, meaning he says to himself, doesn't mean he says it out loud, Asura na ve'ereh, I'm going to move aside from here over to there. I'm going to go over and take a look at Tamareh HaGadol Hazeh. I'm going to go see this amazing vision. Madu alo yivar snare. Let me investigate and see why the snare is not burning up. What's going on? And it's unclear whether Moshe thought that he would find some interesting physical phenomenon or spiritual phenomenon or mystical phenomenon. Unclear what it was he was looking for, but he was certainly drawn to it. Now, notice how frequently the root, Resh Aleph Hey, to see, shows up here. Already, it shows up twice in Pasuk Bet. It shows up twice in Pasuk Gimel. And now, Vayar Adonai Kisar Lirot, again two more times, Hashem saw that he moved aside. Now the Malach is gone. As I said, it's just a precursor, is Hashem. Vayikra Elav Elohim Mitoch Hasneh, Vayomer Moshe Moshe. What are the first words he says to him? Moshe Moshe. And as I pointed out two podcasts ago, the name Moshe, which is an Egyptian word which means son, is, if you will, co-opted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the name by which he calls him. And chances are pretty good that Moshe has been operating incognito for a long time, as he's wanted in Egypt, as we'll find out at the beginning of Shishi. He was wanted in Egypt till this time, and probably has not been publicizing that he is the famous son, the prince of Egypt, And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first words he says to him are Moshe, Moshe. But evidently HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking the Egyptian name Moshe, meaning son, and turning it into a Hebrew name, meaning one who pulls others out of the depths. And indeed, that defines Moshe's existence. At no point in history do we ever hear the name that Moshe was given at birth, or at his brit, or when he was young. We only hear the name that he was given in Mitzrayim, because that's the name that really defines his essence. He is one whose entire job is to pull others out of the depths. What's Moshe's response? Vayomer hineni. Vayomer. So what does Hashem say back? Al tikrav halom. Don't come close. Shal nalecha mi'al raglecha. Cast off your shoes from your feet. Why? And it's unclear what the connection between these two things is, between taking your shoes off and it being a holy place, but that's a relationship that's being defined here. And so now Moshe knows that he's standing on hallowed ground. What's Moshe's response? At this point, nothing. We assume he takes his shoes off. Vayomer, Anochi Elohei Avicha. I am the God of your father, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov. The first time that that very well-known phrase shows up. It'll show up three times in this passage. Vayaster Moshe Panav. Moshe hid his face. Ki Yarei Mi'abit Elohim. He's afraid to look at God. He realized there's an encounter here. This is something similar to Yaakov's fear of encountering God and the way he felt spared that he'd encountered God that night and not died. Vayomer Adonai, and now Hashem speaks again. Ra'or ra'iti, again that root. Et oni ami Hashem Mitzrayim, I've seen the affliction of my people in Mitzrayim. Ve'et sa'akatam shamatim nenoksav, I've heard their cries because of the people driving them, the taskmasters. Ki yadati et machovav, I understand their pain. I know what's going on, I know what's going on with my people, and by the way, Moshe, you've been away from the scene for a long time. I am going to go down, which of course evokes what we heard in two weeks ago in Parshat Vayigash, when Hashem says to Yaakov, I will go down with you, and I will come up with you. I'm going to go down to save them from the hands of Mitzrayim, and to take them up from that land. El Eretz Tova Urchava, to a good and broad land. El Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, we'll talk about that in a moment. A land flowing of milk and honey. El Mekom HaKa'ani V'Achiti V'Amori V'Abrizi V'Achivi V'Aibusi, to the place where these six nations live. In other words, Eretz Canaan. What does Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash mean? So again, let's finish Hashem's first speech, and then we'll see. Ve'ata. Now the word ve'ata in a dialogue, which is where it's always used in Tanakh, indicates some sort of a shift. Usually a shift from an argument to a conclusion, from the past to the future or to the present. So that's what Hashem says. I have heard this. Ve'ata. Hine tzakat b'nei Yisrael ba'elai, v'gam ra'iti et alachatz asher Mitzrayim lochatzim otam. But in this case, it introduces a summary. He says, okay, the cries of Israel have come to me, as we saw at the end of the last Aliyah, and I see the oppression that Mitzrayim is oppressing them with. Ve'ata, now to the conclusion. Lecha ve'eshlachacha paro, go and I'm going to send you to Paro. You're not going on your own. I'm sending you. Votzeitam ibn Israel Mitzrayim, and you take them out. Which is interesting because Hashem just said, I'm going to take them out. But I'm making you my agent and you're going to be the one to take them out. And notice, Ami v'nei Yisrael, my nation v'nei Yisrael. Now, before we get to Moshe's response, this phrase that shows up frequently, both in this narrative of Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim and in Sefer Dvarim, Eretz, Zavat Chalav Udvash, what does it mean to have a land flowing of milk and honey? Do we picture Eretz Yisrael at any point in history, or even in people's imaginations, as a land that there was rivers of milk and honey gushing over the mountains? Of course not. What does milk mean? So milk, to us, when we think of milk, we think of cows. But if from the Tanakh perspective, when you think milk, you got to think of goats. If the land is flowing with milk, that means that not only are there lots of goats, but the goats are eating a lot. There's a lot of grazing land. And grazing land is green. There's lots of grass, so the goats and the cows are eating a lot and producing a lot of milk. How about honey? So there's two kinds of honey that are described in Tanakh. There's dvash tmarim, which is the dvash that, according to Chazal, is the one mentioned in Dvarim Chet, the seven species. And there's Dvash Dvarim, honey of bees, bee honey, which is, according to Chazal, the one implied here. Why is there lots of bee honey? Because there's lots of flowers. So Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash is a very beautiful way of saying it is a land that is green and filled with colorful flowers. A beautiful, beautiful land. Okay, what is Moshe's response? Vayom Moshe el Elohim, mi anochi kelecha paro? Who am I to go to Paro? Which, of course, is a little strange question because, given other circumstances, he would have been the next Paro. He was the prince of Egypt. But he says, who am I to go to Paro? The simple read of that is that it's one sentence, one statement. How can I go to Paro? How can I take Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim? How can I do any of this? And Hashem's response is very simple. I didn't say you're going to go. Vayomer keyemach. I'm going to be with you. Meaning that you're going to go as my agent. I'll be the one going. I'm sending you. And then he says, v'zelachaot kenochi shlachticha. A lot of parshanut on what zelachaot means. Does it refer to the bush? Does it refer to the signs he's about to do? Does it refer to the future? Botziachata ami Mitzrayim tavdunat Elohim al harazeh. When you take the people out of Mitzrayim, you're going to worship Hashem here. Now, if that's the sign, it's a little bit problematic because Moshe's going to come. How does he know that he's really sent? Because at a later point, it's going to be ratified and confirmed by an event that will happen at this place. That's a little bit difficult, which is why the Parshanim are all over the place suggesting what Vizelachaot means. It may mean that this bush itself is a sign that I sent you. Because take a look at Am Yisrael. With all of the oppression, they still live, just like this bush. Perhaps. Vayom Moshe, by the way, the Sefer Chinuch says, Tavdun Talim El Harazeh is a reference both to Matan Torah and to building the Mishkan. Vayom Moshe El Elohim. Okay, so Moshe says, step one, I'll accept. Hinei Anochi Vayal Bnei Yisrael. I'm going to come to Bnei Yisrael. Remember, I can't go to Paro alone. I can't walk into Paro and say I'm here to represent Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael don't know who I am. I grew up in the palace. I went, killed an Egyptian, got in a fight with two Jews, and had to leave Egypt. And that was years ago. So I have to go to Bnei Yisrael first. And what am I going to say to them? The God of your fathers, not mine, the God of your fathers has appeared. They're going to say, what's his name? Meaning, either we're putting this in purely contemporary terms, in which that's the way people relate to their God. What name does this God have? Or just putting it simply in an omniversal framework, if you will, in which what they're going to be asking is, who appeared to you? Describe him. How do we know that's really God? So, ma'omar alehem, what should I tell them? Vayomer Elohim Moshe, very famous line, El Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, which either means, my name is Ehyeh, I'm the one who causes all things to exist, or may mean, I am exactly who I am, I don't have a name. And in a very clever twist, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns it around and says, I may not have a name. It may be just who I am. But Am Yisrael needs a name. So make that the name. The name is Ehyeh. The one that is. That's my name. I'm the one who sent you. And then Hashem speaks again to Moshe and says, Ko tomar b'nei Yisrael. This is exactly what you're going to say. Adonai Elohei Avotechem. Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov. Notice that when Hashem first introduced himself to Moshe, he said, Elohei Avicha, the God of your father. And now it's Elohei Avotechem, the God of your fathers, which you're going to say to Bnei Yisrael. And as Moshe is a little bit more distant now, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, Shtachani Aleichem, he's the one who sent me to you. Meaning that the way that Moshe is now going to present himself to Bnei Yisrael is going to be as an outsider. Your God appeared to me and sent me to you. And then Hashem says to Moshe, that name, whether it's Ehyeh, or whether it is Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, that is my name forever. And that is how I'm always remembered. Implying, this is the name by which you will know me in all places at all times. I'm not one whose name changes depending on the circumstance and is known differently. It's a consistent and stable name and identity. Okay, we're going to pause at this point. This is the end of the Aliyah. We'll pick it up with the fifth Aliyah in the next podcast, continuing our analysis of the stand at Sinai. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.